Okay, welcome to Coffee and Chatter. Today we're going to talk a little bit more financial stuff, cryptocurrencies. And I'm calling this Volume 1, Dabbling in Cryptocurrencies. So, why cryptocurrencies? I've begun to dabble, so I'm collecting my thoughts here and attempting to explain the phenomenon as I see it, understand it, today. In other words, my views are subject to change as I learn more and more information becomes available, or you correct me. So, and I quote from Investopedia, Bitcoin is not backed by any physical commodity or precious metal. And like Bitcoin, neither are any of the other cryptocurrencies backed by any physical commodity. So, like the US dollar, they're what is called a fiat currency. So they're all fiat currencies. The US dollar, while a fiat currency, is based on, I would say, confidence in the US economy, the government, or in America in general, so to speak. Unfortunately, as we continue to print and or borrow trillions of dollars, that confidence is going to quickly erode. Now, what gives value to cryptocurrencies? That's what we're going to address in a couple minutes here. First, let me get a few other topics out of the way that need to be discussed to provide context. For something to function as an acceptable form of money, it must fulfill a couple of key criteria. Number one, it must be fungible. Number two, it must be portable. And number three, it must have value in the eyes of those attempting to use it or trading it. Fungibility, and I quote again from Investopedia, fungibility is the ability of a good or asset to be interchanged with other goods or assets of the same type. Fungible assets simplify the exchange and trade processes as fungibility implies equal value between the assets. End quote. Let me explain real quickly. I remember when Planned Parenthood, right, was saying, "Oh, we're not going to use the millions or whatever money the government was giving it for abortion. We'll use it for other things." Well, because money is fungible, that's essentially an impossible statement to make. If you give me $100, and your friend gives me $100, and you say, I don't want this money spent on A. And your friend says, I don't care what you spend my money on. So I go out and I spend $100 on A. And then I tell you, well, I didn't spend your money on A. I mean, that's just money is money. I have $200. It's fungible. You can't say this is money that was spent on A, and this is money that wasn't. I mean, once it's fungible. So that's the best explanation I can have. And that's what makes money a tradable asset. It can be used for anything. Now, the value inherent in money that is generally accepted by all, say for instance, the US dollar, can be used to trade for other needs. If you have a bushel of corn that I want, and the market price is determined to be 5 US dollars, we can make that trade based on the value that we assign and everybody has accepted for a $5 bill. I give you a $5 bill, you give me a bushel of corn, you can then take that $5 bill and pay somebody to fix your porch or whatever. Now, it's true other things can be used to trade for corn as well, but they don't have the fungibility of money. For instance, I can agree to work in your field for an hour in exchange for the corn. But another person might be required to work for less if their time was more valuable, or more if they weren't as good of a worker, depending on the assessment of any particular person's value. So there's not that same fungibility in the work someone can do for you as there is in a $5 bill. Additionally, other skills can be used to trade for commodities, and they might appear to have more or less value than that of a field worker. We can also look at property and other commodities as having value, but they are not portable. So, for instance, if I have to get up and leave my property due to some imminent danger, riots or the apocalypse, I can carry my money with me and use it wherever I go to try to get food, water, or whatever I need, but I can't take my property. And depending on the situation, that property could become totally worthless if I have no one that'll give me anything for it and I have to leave. Now, if I can convince someone else to trade some money for it or something I can take with me, I can do that. Likewise, other commodities could become unmanageable due to bulk if one has to hit the road immediately. So, you know, I might have a field full of corn. I could even harvest the corn, but where am I going to go with a field, you know, full of corn? How am I going to carry that with me? Now, precious metals. Precious metals can and do function as money because they have value. They're portable and are fungible with regard to their worth. If you have a parcel of land and it's deemed to be worth $1,000, I can give you some gold coins or some silver coins that are deemed to have that same value. Gold and silver are basically valued per ounce. So if I have to move quickly, precious metals are portable. But there's a caveat to that. The more valuable the precious metal, the easier it is to carry. So, as I write, an ounce of spot gold is worth 68 times the value of an ounce of spot silver. Meaning, I can hold 1 ounce of gold in my hand, and to balance that for the same worth, I have to have 5.5 pounds of silver. So, gold is obviously easier to carry because it's smaller and has more value, but if you need to break it down, it's a little bit difficult to break down. That's where you might have either smaller coins, 10th of an ounce, 20th of an ounce, or you could have silver, but of course silver doesn't have as much value, so you have to have more of it. As I speak, gold is at $1,800 an ounce, and silver's, I don't know, I think in the 20s, 25 maybe. So the value of any precious metal is based on two things: its actual usefulness and the value people place on it due to its scarcity. Silver has a lot of uses in manufacturing, and people also value it to hold as a tradable, fungible asset. It's been established to have worth, well, both based on its uses, but also over thousands of years that people were willing to have it and to use it, as well as gold. While gold is not as valuable, say, in manufacturing, it has always been viewed as precious by many people, many civilizations, and along with its scarcity, that has caused those people for thousands of years and across cultures and civilizations to value it and accept it as currency. Now we are finally going to come to cryptocurrencies. In my humble opinion, cryptocurrencies are an attempt to disengage from the traditional financial institutions run by the wealthy and the elitists and the globalists. It's an alternative currency that is essentially uncontrolled by them. Unless they buy it, they can control it that way, but there is no regulation of it. However, like government-issued paper money, there's no commodity to back it up and establish its value. Therefore, it's a fiat currency. nothing behind the cryptocurrencies but the confidence of the investors. If that confidence is lost, bam, it goes down the tubes. So, now, there is one major flaw I see in the cryptocurrency market, and that's what I'm going to conclude with here. Paper money, like the U.S. dollar, for instance, while it is a fiat currency, has the goodwill of the American people, the American government, the American economy behind it. That's really all that's given it value right now. It used to be based on a gold standard. You know, in Fort Knox, there was, for every dollar, there was some small portion of gold. And you could go and demand your gold in exchange for that dollar bill. But we got off the gold standard, and the only thing backing it up now is the strength of our economy, which is going to take a hit because we just keep printing it and, you know, flooding the market with money that ultimately devalues the other money out there because it's not based on anything. It's not like I went to work for the government and then they issued $5. No, they just issued $5. So the $5 in my pocket is now, you know, based on work I perform, is balanced against the $5 that came from nowhere. So, paper money is becoming more and more worthless. You can look at any chart and see what a dollar could buy back in 1926 or whatever, and see now that it's worth a couple pennies in regard to that. And we have inflation, which is part of flooding the money with market. You know, we devalue the currency. And nothing to back it up other than a huge economy right now. Cryptocurrencies, not so much. So, as has become painfully clear to everybody in the past couple months or however, cryptocurrencies are extremely volatile, rising and falling thousands of dollars in a day, a week, or a month, like we saw with Bitcoin. Bitcoin started at some ridiculously low value. It ramped all the way up to like $60,000. Now, it took a hit a short ways back. It lost $10,000, but it has recovered. And I don't know, it's in the past week, I think it's fluctuated another $5,000. So it's somewhere in the $60,000 range. But there's nothing backing it up other than the confidence of the people using it. So, as an explanation of what cryptocurrency is and what the problem could be, is I read something last week. Somebody was asking, I don't know, a reporter, somebody asking a government official, are the cryptocurrencies going to be regulated? And the response was that would involve regulating the internet. And therein lies the hook. If there is some type of failure or whatever of the electric grid, or which would affect the internet, or the internet itself has a problem, any anomaly that could occur, which adversely affected the internet, the cryptocurrency market would collapse and become worthless, unless there's some kind of ability to resolve the issue and recover the digital economy. Because there it is. Cryptocurrencies are strictly digital. They exist on hard drives, software, programs, on computers, on the internet. If you go to turn your computer on one day and either you can't get on the internet because the internet has something happened to it, or you don't have electric, you can't access your cryptocurrency, and you might never access it again. So that's the thing. Cryptocurrencies are all digital, ones and zeros. And if those ones and zeros go away, the cryptocurrency disappears. All right, I'm going to look further into this and hopefully come back with more information. Thanks for listening today.